Just church, if you guys want to go ahead and take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 325. That's page number 325, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delight of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, God, for this church, and I pray, God, that You will bless us and bless our singing praises unto You, Lord. And I pray, God, that all those that are sick will get better soon. And please bless the mothers this morning and today, Lord. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. If you want to take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 93. It's page number 93. Art Thou Weary, Art Thou Languid?
Hath He marks to leave.
Everybody, at this time, we will have our announcements.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. And if somehow you missed, there are some flowers out front for the mothers, and I think we'll have plenty. So if the ladies, and then I guess they'll probably become swords for the children. But until then, they are bought for the ladies to honor the suffering that you do to get through, to bring life into this world, and that is why we remember today as Mother's Day. May not be specifically mentioned in the Bible, but there are days that we honor just to treat, and I think it's in the will of God to honor the mothers that bring life into this world. So with that, I hope that small little token is a blessing to you, and there is plenty of sweets to keep you sugared up for the rest of the day, I believe. So with that, thank you so much for coming this morning. The verse of the week is Proverbs 31, verse 28. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Hear, children, arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. What a crown of glory for a mother to be praised from her works. Salvations in April were 18, salvations for May were 10, and we had 81 salvations so far for this year. There were actually 12 salvations for Central Washington on Friday, so that was a blessing. Thank you for all of those that made it. Thank you for those that went out. And so far, yeah, the college campuses have been a very interesting experience each time. A little different feel with each one. I felt the people were more friendly in their way they said no this time, but there are still a lot of souls willing to be here, and it doesn't matter where we go. We can find those willing to hear, to change their mind, to come to salvation. So just thank you all that went there, and we saw members from the Seattle and from the Yakima Church. So it's always nice to go out and just see other brothers, sisters in Christ. So that was a blessing. I think I missed it, but obviously we know service times are 10:30 today, 3:30 this afternoon, 6:30 in the Wednesday evening Bible study. Soul winning, as I said, was on Friday for our special event, and today at 1 p.m. We are in the middle of a Bible memory, and you have one more week. Even if you have not started, it is very possible to get this memorized. And remember, there are plenty of people that go up, do stage performances, they get time to memorize their lines, memorize this speech, practice it, and even if you have not practiced it yet, you can memorize 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, and I'm sure, hey, I bet there'll be many people next week that pray it, but hey, that's for everyone, and there is a reward for those that finish. So that is coming up next week. All right, homeschool day is going to be June 9th for all those that can attend. Just let Miss Kylie know, it'll be 11 a.m. Just RSVP with her so she can plan food and games. And then kids, your memory verse right now is Psalms 59, verse 17. Psalm 59, verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercies. And if you can repeat that. Not this day, because Miss Kylie's not here to verify it, but you get practice that, you can receive a piece of candy. All right. Rules are the same. I did forget to put the tithes in. That is my bum. As far as I know, there's no birthdays or anniversaries. But today, you know, as we turn to the Lord in prayer, let's just remember those that are sick and not feeling well. But let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you want to go ahead and take your psalm books, we're going to turn to Psalm number 24. Psalm number 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
And sing, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please pray for the offering?
Holy Father, thank you so much for all that we have. And let us remember that, Lord, times will always come that are hard. Some times will come when they are good. But, Lord, we'll eventually always have the harvest, and you've never seen the righteous man for that. Let us never worry the times to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. If you could take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 will be our text this morning. And as always, here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible reads, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his home, to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. And of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Brother Daniel, could you pray for the preaching?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank God for this day. Thank you for giving us the blessings. I pray God that you bless the church, bless the service.
Amen. Now, as you saw, we're reading out Ecclesiastes 12, and I'm not going to pull the wool over your eyes. This won't be a traditional Mother's Day sermon because, obviously, we had an illness that took away, Brother Remy. So, I know this is not exactly a Mother's Day sermon, but I hope it is valuable because what this chapter is a reflection on life. And we have to understand that the time we have is short. This life is but a vapor. It's here for a minute and it's gone the next. I think one of the most truest sayings, the older I get, the more it's true. The days are long, but the years are fast. It's amazing how fast they go. So today, the title of my sermon is Times of Our Life. The time of our life. And it's just, where are we right now? And there'll be many points for mothers, there'll be many points for children, there'll be many points for anyone that hears this sermon. But I just wanted to warn you, as we go in Ecclesiastes, it won't be fully Mother's Day, and I do apologize for that. But this is the sermon that was prepared, so this is the sermon we're having. Ecclesiastes is a somber one. But you know, somberness, when we look at the end of our life, as our fleshly life, it comes to the end, and it's hard for us to see, it's hard for us to do, and look back and go, what was it all about? But you know, before you were born, it says in Jeremiah 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. And I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. And understand, not all of us are ordained from the get-go to be a prophet. But isn't it amazing that God looked down before the child was even born and said, I already know you. God, from your before you were born, had you, understood you, and brought you into this life. Even though sometimes, and it's just common as we get older, sometimes we're more somber, sometimes we're more regrets and all this. Understand at a time, you are a promise of life that brought joy to the world by purely being. And that is the beauty of motherhood, to bring childs into this life. And I just want to say, before you're born, there is no requirements of you. There is nothing there. It is just truly the joy of life being brought into this world. But you know, the first stage of life is to be a babe. What can we learn from this stage of our life? In this time of our life of being a babe, what can we know? In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Here we get the spiritual lesson that if you're new to Christ, you just need the milk. What is that image? It's because a baby. They just need the milk. That's all they want. They can't take meat. They can't take that. All they can do is survive. It's not up to them. They can't. They're helpless. Pure innocence. At this time in your life, if you merely survive, you have succeeded at being a baby. because you are fully reliant and helpless upon everyone else. You need everyone else to help you. And there's part of this life that it's special to it. Because I'm going to tell you this, you know, I see that, you know, my wife had to take my babe out of this room. Because you know what? It just soiled itself and ruined the entire Sunday best clothing we put him in. And you know what? As a babe, he gets to look and go, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem. That's the time of life they're in. But I'm going to tell you this. Anyone older than a babe does that, they're like, get out. Like, go wash yourself. What are you doing? Like, if a grown man came and did that, I'd be like, I'm good. You're not. Please leave. It's not the time of the life. Things change. There's different requirements here. As a newborn babe, they just want milk. That's literally all they just cry for it. They don't even want to be clean. We clean them for ourselves, and it's good for them. But it's a helpless time. It's an innocence time. They're not burdened by the futures. They're not stressed out by that. They're stressed out that I'm tired, I'm hungry, you know, this. It's instantaneous. They're not more concerned about other things. That's why we view it as an innocent stage of life. In Exodus 2 and verse 6, it says, when she had opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the babe wet, and she had compassion on him and said, this is the Hebrew child. This is who became Moses' adopted parent, if you wish. You know, a princess of Egypt. You know, she actually took a child. Why? You see a little child that's helpless and is crying. If that doesn't bend your heart in some way, and trust me, as a parent, sometimes they're just screaming all the time. But I'm just saying, you randomly walk into a child that's crying and just like abandoned, and you're just like, not a me problem. People are going to look at you like there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. All right? Why? Because it tears at us. This child's only defense is the fact that we have an innate ability to understand that the innocence and helplessness of the child needs to be helped. We give so much grace and so much patience to a child without ever even thinking about it. I mean, if you're having a dinner and he throws up on the plate, you're not just like, all right, now let's talk about this. That's incorrect. No, that'd be insane. It's just pure innocence, pure that. You know what's interesting? In Matthew 19, verse 14, it says, but Jesus said, suffer the little ones, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, whether or not that's not just a little child that's maybe a little bit more grown, but it's like just innocent, kind of foolish, doesn't really know what to do, can't plan for the future. That's basically the innocence and humbleness that you have to do to come to God. And that's how we will be for eternity in comparison to God. So understanding that the helplessness and innocence of a child, the time of the life that they're in, hey, that's the way we'll basically be. Because not burdened by the worries of this world, not burdened about, like, I mean, last month, many of you were probably burdened about taxes. I mean, the weather, politics, the wars, you know, finances, job promotion, layoffs, food struggles, gas prices. I mean, don't you have a lot of things that you just wear on you? And it can be burdened. But hey, as an adult, you need to be able to be strong enough to take that. As a child, if they're just like, I haven't eaten in 30 minutes, you kind of accept it because they're a babe. And you just have to understand, that time of life, what is it? It's just pure innocence. They're not burdened by the future. They're fragile. They're helpless. And that's okay, because that's the time of their life. The only requirement, really, everyone, and you don't even place it, it's just a necessity, is survive. And you have succeeded. And if you had a bad babyhood, you can succeed for the rest of your life. And that's just the time of the life that we recognize. But what happens after that? You grow into a youth. And at this point, hopefully you're growing. You've obviously survived. You've grown. But you're trying to learn and learn for the future. This next stage of your life, you know, is also yet another domain that is primarily controlled by mothers. All right? You raise the next generation. But here, where we just read on Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know what's important just from the get-go? And hey, a babe, hey, it's great. Hopefully they hear the sermons, something sticks. But hey, as a child, this is truly where they can reflect on God. And a lot of people think like, oh, I'll do that later in life. I'll eventually get there. You know, it literally says, remember thy creator in the days of youth before the years draw nigh, when you have no pleasure in them. Now let me tell you this. You should enjoy right now. I don't care how old you are, enjoy now. Enjoy it. Because, hey, the years come nigh, and you will not have pleasure in them. I've been spending time with my kid's great aunt, and she's at this point, she's pretty happy, but here's the thing is, the years draw nigh when, you know what, you're ready to go. She's happy if she's out of bed for a few hours. She's happy if she's for 30 minutes, her hands work enough so she can do anything. She's just given up on everything. And here, let me tell you, if you go and spend time with people in the nursing homes and whatnot, a lot of them are, they're good to go. Enjoy the days now, because they will come nigh. And here's the thing is, you should serve God with your youth. You know, if a kid learns to sing songs, he does that like, hey, we have children in this church. I've seen at very young ages give the gospel better than, you know, I certainly did. I was in my 30s before I got saved. I would never give him the gospel. What a blessing. What a great. Hey, if you remember your creator in the days of youth, that will just help your whole life continue on. And here's the thing is, what are your children? You're like, hey, you should survive and you should learn. How do you learn? In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, the children still have a kind of simple life. They don't have all the responsibilities. They're still not worried about taxes. They're still not that. What do they hope to do? Just learn. You know how you learn? You obey. Let me tell you, obeying your mother is the first. I mean, you're going to spend more time with your mother than your father for most situations. And that is why you honor the mother. Why do we honor this day called Mother's Day? Well, who's handling the babies? I can look right now. It isn't really the men. I think most women even have a baby. All right? None of the men do right now. So it's like, why do we honor them? Man, they are intense, they're constant, they're needful. And yet, this is our future. Without it, there is nothing. There is nothing coming beyond this in this world. And it just says, hey, children, you want to grow wise, be strong, succeed in the world? Hey, you first learn to obey. And if you can't learn to obey your parents, are you really going to know how to obey your boss? Are you really going to know how to obey, social, orders, powers, principalities? No, you first learn structure in that, and you train up. In Proverbs 22, for all the parents in here, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way they shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is your job as a child? Is to learn how to succeed in this world, and hopefully your parents are training you up in the way that will lead you to success in this world and in the next. Because, hey, here's the thing is, in Proverbs 22, continue down a little bit in verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Understand this, that, hey, child, you're like, well, I get spanked all the time. Great. Awesome. Like, hey, you're being corrected. Because let me tell you this, in our society, very unlikely you're going to have a rod correct you. But, man, let me tell you, you lose a job at a bad time, you lose you can't get into future employment, you don't get along with your neighbors, you don't know how to interact with people. Let me tell you, you'd almost wish you could just get a couple hits of the rod and move on.
Right.
And that might be hard. A lot of people might not understand this. Hey, learning to grow up to understand how to succeed in your life, how to succeed in society, how to have friends, how to play. And here's the thing, playing is a very important thing. If you have a child that doesn't even know how to play with others, they're not going to do well. You have to learn how to get along at an early age. Hey, is it natural for us to want to share? Is it natural for us to want to focus? Is it natural for us to do this? No, but in this time of your life, it's okay to be a child, but it's okay to start trying to mature, to be that adult. Now, people do this at different ages, but how sad is it when you see an adult? Like, they should be childish, but don't we say, man, you're really childish. What do I mean? You have no patience. You're very self-centered. You're not able to comprehend. You're not able to work with others. You can't take correction. I mean, here's the thing. As a young child, if they get corrected and get corrected with a rod, I know when your boss is like, hey, can you just do it this way for me? Well, that's the first time you ever heard no or a new thing. You're like, oh. Yeah. It's like a little child about to have a tantrum. I've seen it at work.
Yeah.
Like grown adults have tantrum tantrums. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, if your parents trained you up in the way to go to actually succeed in life, you had a mother that actually guided you to hopefully set you on a course that you were able to deal with ups and downs, negatives and corrections, and guide you into the way of this world. Amen. You had a blessed childhood. Well, you're not talking about going to Disneyland multiple times. You're not talking about the vacation. I didn't ever grow up to a beach. Hey, you probably didn't have a lot of things. You know what? I really wanted a Lamborghini when I was in high school. You know what I got? A minivan part-time with my mom. Amen. I learned how to drive. I learned to do that. You know the fancy clothes I got? Sometimes someone who was fat had nice clothes and then went to Goodwill. That was the nicest clothes I got as in high school. You know what? I'm thankful because I see some people, they think literally if their kicks ain't the cleanest, which is shoes, I guess, you know, their drip ain't that good. Like, they just feel ruined. You're like, man, these things still fit and my shoes aren't talking to me yet. They're good shoes.
Yeah.
Let me know. I'm able to succeed in this world a little bit better than some. But let me tell you this. Foolishness as a child is understandable because they are children. But I hope that when you get an adult, foolishness just does not abound. Because unfortunately, there's not a rod of correction. In 1 Samuel 17:33, it says, "And Saul saw David, thou art able to go against the Philistines to fight him? For thou art but a youth, and a man of war from his youth." And now understand, this is back when David, who wasn't in the war line, he's not in the soldiers, all of them are fearful because of one great man of war. From his youth, he was trained in war, was Goliath. So literally, all the trained soldiers, all the chosen men, Jonathan himself was there, and he didn't take the battle. Saul, who was the king and leader of Israel, who probably should have been the one fought it, he didn't take the battle.
Right.
Some boy comes up and is like, I'll do it. Like, you're a youth. Why I added this in here is, hey, you know, sometimes your kids are going to surprise you in what they can do. You know, a lot of times we get so used to them being children or they're young and we're experienced by other youths that sometimes we forget, hey, some people are more mature, some are more strong, some are more quick, some are quicker learners. And sometimes they'll surprise us like, whoa, you're like the verge of an adult. What happened to my little babe? Hey, understand this time, the beautiful things, if you want to have a successful childhood, supersede other children. Become better men than who you see of the men in your life, and you've had a very successful childhood. David obviously did that. They saw just some young lad that shouldn't have even been on the field have a great victory. That is the way we should spend our youth. But here's the thing, in Ecclesiastes 11 in verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let the heart cheer thee day in these days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and the sights of thy eyes. But thou knowest that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from the flesh, for thy childhood and the youth are vanity." Why it's important, hey, you can live a childhood that just surprises adults how mature you are, or you can just be a child. Hey, and children are just like, man, it'd be so awesome. Dude, I'm going to jump off a bridge. I bet I could hit the water. Yeah, it's only 10 feet, but I could do it. Hey, children got some dumb ideas. I had some dumb ideas. And hey, here's the thing is, man, you know what was a really awesome thing? Man, I gave up an entire summer of my life when I was in high school. I worked, I took everything, I did odd jobs, I just did everything because I knew what I wanted. I knew how to make myself happy. And I saved and saved and saved, and I bought the most, you guys are going to be in awe of this. It was a 300 plus one CD changer. And you could press randomize, and it would just, like, out of hundreds of CDs, just play a random song. I had never even, like, it blew my mind what fancy technology was. I was like, I'm going to have this thing forever. It's so awesome. I'm going to enjoy so much music. It's great. You know what came out that summer? iPod.
MP3.
Yeah, you all have a phone. You're just like, yeah, you hit random. What? Why did you give up a year of your life? Vanity. Youthful pursuits of what you think will bring you happy, if it's not in the guidance of the Lord, if it's not for your future success, if it's just something you think, oh man, I'm going to have the best rims, I'm going to have the slickest hair, I'm going to have the biggest, goldest chain, or whatever else kids think they're going to do. I'm just going to be the fastest, I'm going to have the best sports. And here's the thing, it's great, go join the sports, go do the best you can, go do those things, go and excel. There's profit in all labor. But let me tell you this, youth is vain. the wants of your heart, because God will hold you in judgment of what you do. Well, I'm young. I didn't know it was better. You know, it was all the super cool kids. They had a little bit of whiskey they stole from their dad, and I drank it. Yeah, God will hold you in judgment. You know, we have a saying in the U.S. crime law that ignorance of laws, no excuse. You know, God kind of holds you to that. Well, I never read the Bible, so how am I going to go to hell? Well, because you sinned against God's law.
Amen.
And this is true in the youth in itself. And it literally says, oh, young man, hey, you want to have cheer and do all this? Because, hey, what brings you happiness, joy? It's probably doing the dumbest things ever as a kid. And sometimes that's not all that bad. Hey, there are righteous things you can enjoy and do. But, hey, there's plenty of stupid things and a lot of the dumb things. You know what? Why is it that all our monuments, you go to a park, you go to a national park, and there's all this stupid graffiti over it?
Right.
It's probably not a 50-year-old. Even if they're a drunk, derelict, loser, gangbanger, still not probably a 50-year-old out there spray-painting, you know, Charlie in the most stupid language. You know, obviously they can't even write. Which is weird. I thought they stopped teaching cursive, but, you know, spray-painting shows they still have cursive. I don't know. What I'm just saying is this. It's children doing foolish things. Because when you're young and dumb, destruction is the closest to creativity you can get to, and you think you're being creative by destroying stuff. It's vain. Spend your time growing and succeeding and setting your life up is the greatest thing you could do with a young life. But here's the thing. As a kid, I can tell you're being a successful kid if you're not babyish. Like, at least my parents grew up this way. Stop being a baby. You know, I'm just like crying. This isn't your guys, I'm not, you know, you do your own thing. My parents being two military officers from mid-last century, as I guess Hondo likes to tell me now. I'm from late last century, to make me feel ancient. But if I came up crying and there wasn't blood, I got smacked across the face with less grace than you'd imagine. They're like, you want to be a baby? We'll give you something to cry about. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm just saying, I grew up in a way I'm like, oh, I should probably prioritize my complaints to my authority. But all I'm saying is if a kid is not babyish, because here's the thing is, hey, I'm sorry, you're old enough, you can wait a minute. Hey, you're old enough, you know not to speak over me. Hey, you know what? Two adults are talking, you probably shouldn't interrupt. Now here's the thing is, a baby that's hungry and just like, it's the middle of the wedding and they're like, well, it's a baby. But there comes an age, and I'm not telling you, because age is different in maturity, but there comes an age where I'm like, oh, you decide you want some special time with the parents, huh? We'll have some special time with the parents right now. Because here's the thing, as a kid, you don't want to be you don't want to be like a baby. You want to try to esteem to be adult. That is how you know this time of your life. But then you move into adulthood. Now, this is kind of the prime of your life, the main part of your life. I think this is what takes up most of the years of your life. Well, and this is good advice for use as well, but here's the key thing. Obviously, serve God, believe on God. I hope earlier in your life you trust on God, but in this flesh, what should you be doing? Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips continue to penury. What this says is here. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, if I do anything, I'll make money. Look, I think your profit is like spiritual, it's mental, it's this. If you're just doing stuff, you're going to gain skills, and you're going to find profit within that. Let me tell you this. It didn't make much sense to me where I'm like, man, I was really interested in stage work, you know, when I was a kid. I didn't become a stage worker. I didn't go into Hollywood. But man, I've set up sound and videos and tried to organize lights for many churches, many events. Like, you do things, you gain skills. You don't know how that will benefit your life, but let me tell you this. Doing absolutely nothing will never benefit you. In all labor there is profit. But, the talk of tenuous is penury. Like, penury is literally destitute, like you are below poor. Like, either do stuff or you don't, and there's two ways. It'll either profit you in some way, you'll gain more skills, you'll be more knowledgeable, how about this? You'll just learn to learn. Because it's sad. Like, there are so many people that have no idea how to learn. There are so many people that literally, like, they go, like, well, I went to college. Great, you learned absolutely nothing useful. You still need to learn. Because let me tell you this, I don't care what degree you get into, when you get hired, they're going to be like, that's awesome, you got certified, now let's teach you how we really want you to do it. Yeah. And I work in many professionals or whatnot, and that's just the way our society is right now. You know, you got to learn how to learn. And here's the thing is, you know that means taking correction? Yeah. And here's the thing is, when I run into an adult that cannot take correction, like you can't say, hey, don't do it that way, and they're like, oh, you're a child. Oh, wait, you're supposed to be an adult right now. Understand the way the Bible breaks up this. You should never backstep. Like, a youth should never be babyish. An adult should never be childish. But you know what's worse? Adult who's even baby, like a baby, like they just cry. They're like, I'm hungry. Like, whoa. I hope you are 9 months pregnant, because at that point, like, well, they got a baby in them, all right? Like, you get a little bit of that. But, like, here's the thing. As an adult, you should be trainable, you should be working, and you should be solving things. Here, as a youth, you should be able to fix the problems that are in front of you. All right? Like, you run into a problem, like, you knock down all the books off of a store shelf. The wrong answer is... Now, that's what you want to do. The correct answer is... Guess what you just tasked yourself with? Fix the problem ahead of you. Fix it right now. You just do it. If you are like, if you're in your house and you're like, you come up and you walk in a room, you're like, whoa, big mess. You just can't continue on. That's super childish. Like, that's not adult. Like, that's kind of your thing. You live there, right? Like, you hope children do that, but how much sad is it, like, adults? They're just like, wow, there's a lot of problems here. I'm going to go get McDonald's. Super childish. That's not where you should be in your life. And here's the thing is, just go out and do. Take charge of what it is. Because here in Proverbs 14, verse 24, the next line, it says, the crown of the wise is the riches, but the foolish of the fools is folly. What it is like, hey, be wise. Be wise. And what I think wisdom is you can solve problems in the future that haven't happened yet. As a youth, I hope you solve problems in reality. If you knock the milk over, just start cleaning it up. It's going to happen. But you know, as an adult, you can foresee problems coming. This is, I think, start of wisdom. So if you have a very mature child, they'll start solving problems in the future. Like, what's an example of this? Well, isn't it weird sometimes, you know, like a kid, they're like, I'm hungry, what are we eating? You're like, we're going to do this. Sometimes it's weird, though, you're like, hey, what are you eating? Like, to the adult, you're like, shoot, I haven't thought about that. Like, you didn't think food was going to come? We were never going to be hungry again? You know, you're like, shoot, what are these? I have like a rainbow light display when I turn the car on. You might want to think about doing something with that, because that's, you know, and here's the thing is like, I'm not saying I'm the best with oil change, all that, but you know this is coming, right? Hey, if you own a house, you know in X amount of years, you got to replace that roof, and you probably don't want to just drop, you know, the 20 grand or whatever it is at once. You might have to start solving that problem years before it happens. And I'm not saying everyone does this, but you can see it in people's lives when they have a little bit of wisdom that lead them to success. Because you can't just, like, you, if you just go problem in the immediate, it's kind of childish, and you're not going to live life the fullest. And here's the thing is, it's Mother's Day. You got to appreciate mothers, because most mothers just don't go, well, they completely destroyed everything they're wearing, and I have no other clothes. They were dad, there is no other clothes. All right? Mothers usually have this freaking bag that is really kind of like, why do we have all this junk? We got a change of clothes, we got snacks, we got diapers, we got ointments, it's got blankets, it's got that. I'm like, wasn't cold this morning, why does he have a wool suit? But do you understand what I'm saying? That's solving problems that don't exist right now. That is wisdom that you don't fully expect children to have. Maybe like in their teens, as they're making that transition, wherever you think, you know, you transition from youth to kind of, you should be young adults. You actually start solving problems in the future. Now, that's the wisdom you don't expect a child. But it is sad when you run into adults, that age-wise, that they have no idea how to do this. Like, I work with a lot of people that are like, man, I got an early day tomorrow. Well, I'm going to spend all night in the bar. And then they're going to complain all day tomorrow at work on how miserable they feel. I'm like, that wasn't very wise.
Amen.
And this isn't even like, hey, don't drink alcohol. That's my main point. But you can plan today to make tomorrow better. All right, here's a little wisdom. Like, you know, we can make Sundays can be easy or hard. And here's the thing is, I'm not like, especially since I have a kid, not fully here, but hey, you know, we know Sundays, we kind of have this routine. All right, kids just show up, they hope there's food, don't know, don't plan, whatever, great. But, you know, we kind of have like an hour and a half service, and we have an hour and a half break. We have an hour and a half soul winning, and we have an hour and a half break, and we have an hour and a half sermon. Well, if you have no chores and you have food here, it's a pretty easy day. But we all know that time, we didn't bring any food. I got like five things I got to get done today, right now. Man, you are stressed out on Sunday. Because you got to go here, get this done, pick this person up in the middle. I got to go find food. It's backed up. It's busy. I got to call. Then I got to just show up to, you know, try to get the soul winning. And then that did go a little longer. I couldn't get back to church. And you're just stressed out. Or if you just bring everything, you're like, dude, are we still just waiting? Like, super simple. I'm not saying it's wrong to be as energized and exercise and get as many things off your checklist as possible. All I'm saying is you can plan to have an easy day or a hard day, and sometimes it's just depending on what you want. Hey, to make Sundays easy, you got to take those 2 hours and spend it on Friday or Thursday or Saturday, right? But this is the way I think transitioning from kids. Most kids, they wake up, they're like, what are you doing today? I don't know. And they're like, oh shoot, I gotta go do this. And then, hey, you remember tomorrow is a test, right? Oh shoot, should I do something about it? Maybe you should study. Now as an adult, here's the big transition from being a child to an adult. This is one of the hardest things I actually think it is, and that most people are not prepared for. As a child, hopefully you have parents, guidance, telling you what to do. There's a problem when you get into adulthood. There ain't nobody telling you. You need to be able to do your chores, clean, work, solve problems now, solve them in the future, all based on your wisdom. Which is why the Bible says, hey, getting wisdom is the key thing. Because a lot of people have a lot harder lives because they don't sit down and think, what problems do I need to solve? And let me say, one of the good examples of Mother's Day is a lot of mothers, they just know, wow, you have one day where you have to carry your kid around naked because they ain't putting those clothes back on. All of a sudden, they have the wisdom to bring changes for clothes. Hey, most men that have driven a car out, never, like, I hope you haven't done this, but if you've just never changed the oil and your block seizes and you're out thousands of dollars and that car's a complete worthless thing, they're probably a little bit better at changing oil after that. You know, there's certain things that happen in your life, they're not always good, but they gain you wisdom. So you start solving things in the future, because here's the thing is, ain't nobody going to come and tell you. Hey, I hope the city doesn't have to tell you to mow your yard, but it does at times. That's usually a shame. I mean, all of a sudden we have all these things. And let me tell you, people don't have the time. They're like, I just don't have the time. But here's the thing is, you don't have the time as the derelict, and you don't have the time as someone that runs three businesses. We all have 24 hours a day. Somehow people get it done. And a lot of times it's balancing what comes. This comes with wisdom. And I think that's why Proverbs is focused so much on wisdom. It's good for women. It's good for men. It's good for mothers. It's good for fathers. It's good for everyone. That we transition from just solving in the issues that come up right now, and you try to solve the issues coming down in the future. That is a transition, I believe. And here's the thing is, well, what would this have been like in the old times? I'm going to tell you this. One of the hard, like, modern life is strange. Because you've never had it easier and you've never had it harder. All right? A good example of this is if you think of, like, the prairie women. All right? They had to start planning what they're going to eat in January in like March. Because they're going to have to grow. They're going to have to store. They're going to have to see how the harvest does. They're going to have to plan for the meals when they're snowed in, there's no supplies, you can't just run down to Rosar's, you can't Amazon it. Because if the jars break, we don't have that. Then the snow comes, they got to plan, what did we actually get, and how do we divide this up over the next few months? They had to plan a long time ahead. Men had to do this too, like, hey, if you can only go to the Howard store 2 times a year, I mean, I would never build anything. I go to the hardware store once to get the supplies, twice to get what I didn't get, and then when I build it, to go there at least a third time to get the stuff I really need. I'm not excellent at that. But here's the thing is, that's the thing that's, I would just say that's kind of, like, if we just go, now here's the thing, in the modern life, it's so easy to just never put any thought into having stuff that I think we lose the idea of planning to solve things in the future. And then we actually create a lot of trouble ourselves because, man, something doesn't happen. Like a store or restaurant, they took a day off. They're like, oh, what am I going to do today? And this can ruin people's lives. All I'm saying is adults are patient. They plan. They go forward. And this is what we hope children grow into. And Titus 2 verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of good home, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What do I do with my life? I think that'll take pretty much the most of it. And it's hard. That is a hard burden. All right? Love thy husbands. He stinks. He doesn't bring home, I don't get enough, allowance or whatever you want to say. Why does he get more? I don't get enough time with him. And then I got all these children. Man, I got to love them? Dude, that's a hard task. That's a full-time job in itself. But then to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good obedience to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is pretty much our whole life. And a lot of people are like, man, I just don't like that. Well, it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself the pattern of good works in the doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, here's the thing is, let's balance this out. How many young men fit that description? Young men. How many young men fit this? A pattern of good works showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, and sound speech that could not be condemned. You see that person, you're like, dude, you want to be the boss? Like, this is pretty awesome. So a lot of people, they just look like, eh, this Bible, it's just so unfair. I'm supposed to love my husband and be a keeper at home. Guess what? I guarantee you, if you are both young and unwise and unexperienced in the world, you know who's going to fail at this? You both are. This is life. This is life. Now, if you didn't, awesome. Fantastic. But here's the thing is, the adult part of our life is to work and learn through it all. To work and learn. Because here's the thing about this. A lot of people are like, well, I think the standards are too high. Well, here's the thing about Christianity. You know who our standard is? Christ. You know what you're never going to be? Christ.
That's right.
The goal of having a personality and experience and drive that is admirable by all, whether they're saved or not, when they see you work, is that you're striving for a goal that you can't attain. So you're always striving. You're always improving. You're always reaching. I don't care if you are someone that just literally got themselves maybe clean right off the street. Guess what? That person in 5 years, if they're striving to better themselves, will be amazed when people see around them. You know what? You had a good life. You're a little bit cleaner. And you're still striving. That's awesome. But let me tell you, wherever you are, you can improve.
Yeah.
And when you see these things, you're like, well, you know, I wish she did that. Well, I wish he was like that. Yeah. That's the Christian life. We both wish everyone we were around would just be better. But here's the thing is, who's good? None but one.
Right.
We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's the wisdom as an adult. That is why we can have grace with our children. That is why we can have grace with those that are older with us. That is why we can see that, because we know in ourselves. And if you want to be a good Christian, you recognize in yourself how faulty you are. Because here's the thing is, to love our husbands and our children, that's a high task. But to do it while being discreet, chaste keepers of home, and then being good, because let me tell you this, man, you had a stressful, like, bless the women that have multiple children, and even just one, but you just see they have all these children all the time. Are they all just one, like, I think at a certain point, I don't know what number it is, you hit it that, one is always angry, one is always sleeping when they're probably doing something, one is hiding, on purpose or not, I don't know, and then one is screaming constantly, right? And like children just go through this, and here's the thing is, you're supposed to manage that while being discreet, chaste, keeping the house together through all that, and to be good. Now, most, like, the stereotype of a woman with most children, I think has to do with, like, come here. Come here. You know? At least, I mean, the static idea, like, you got the sandal just whacking children all the time. Like, that's the one stuck in my head, because my mom could hit me across the house with it. I don't think she could throw a baseball, but somehow a shoe, she was, like, quarterback level, like, Peyton Manning, just, like, right there. And if that's not a good quarterback, I don't know. It's not my sort of choice. But I'm just saying, is this? It's like,
yes.
You are literally, like, that's a high choice. But here's the thing is, look at the men. Young men. Young men. You're the most irresponsible. It just said youth is vanity. All your goals are vain as a young man by heart. So you are excelling in a great life if you head into this. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity in sound speech that cannot be condemned. Let me tell you that. If a young man is doing that, no matter where he is, he's going to stand out. Because I guarantee you, most Asian men ain't even that way. Especially in work. This is how we should attain our lives. And even if we aren't there right now, this is what you should be striving for. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says, "But if any man provide not for his own, especially those who are in his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Well, I don't know what to do now that I'm an adult. Are you providing for someone? Are you providing for your household? Because here's another difference from when you change from a youth, that's okay. If a youth is a little self-centered and they only really think about themselves and they hardly take care of anything but themselves, if a youth can take care of themselves, you're like, that's an awesome child. Man, they're cleaning up after themselves. They're like keeping their room clean. Maybe they can even cook themselves a meal every now and then. I can leave them alone for a few hours. They're doing pretty good. You hit an adult, and that's literally all you can do is barely take care of yourselves, you're kind of sad. That's not adult. Adult takes care of others. And that's a big change from youth to adulthood. Because if you find someone that only takes care of themselves, their whole world is just about them, and they are not giving. They're not taking care of. They're not taking charge of others. You haven't reached adulthood. I don't care about your age. Now, here's the thing. It's like, well, I'm not married. I don't have a fast family. There are a lot of people that need help. I mean, I'm not saying you can go. I don't really know big brothers, big sisters, but I'm just saying there's churches, there's charities, there's help. There's, you know, schools that need coaches. There's free. There are a lot of things you can get active in and go help others. Go take care of others. Hey, how about a church? I mean, we got holes. We got things that need to be paying. We got things. Hey, how about this? Go soul winning. You've got absolutely nothing else going on in your life. You can go save souls. I mean, didn't we have someone, see, from Boise? We've had people from Boise and other places. They're traveling around the country just going to little soul winning marathons here in Washington just to go get someone saved. Hey, that's someone looking after someone else. Their priorities are not on themselves, they're on others. This is a big transition that if you ever want to know what the adult life is like, it's this way. Taking care of others and prioritizing their wealth is not just what being an adult is,
Literally, God says, if you have a household you're not taking care of, you're worse than the infidel, which means that's not, you're kind of failing. Like, basically, I spit at you. Now, it does say the men. Like, if you're a man and, like, your house is just going to trash and you're there, Lord help you. This is going to sound rough. I hope it's like a like illness. Like, you physically can't do it. Because if you physically can't do it, dude, you, like, basically, get out. Like, what are you doing? Like, literally, get up, get out, do something. And all labor there is profit. Like, let me tell you, sitting on your couch as everything degrades around you will never fix the problem. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise the youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the word, in the conversation, in charity, spirit, in faith, purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine." Well, I just have so much time, I just don't want to do. Man, work on all these things. You know, why don't you exhort believers? Why don't you focus on doctrine? Why don't you give attendance unto reading the Bible? I mean, you got things to do. And let me tell you this. You have time, and what you spend your time with is how you will become. Now, let me tell you, like, I spend too much time on YouTube. I'll tell you that right now. But I'll tell you this. There are people that spend way more than I do. But it's like, is your family taken care of? Is your house, is your car, is your business, is your, are your career growth growing? If you're a mother, it's like, are all the clothes good? The house is organized, straight? Is meals being prepped? I have a plan for what's coming up next week. Like, if these things are done, hey, every now and then we need a break. But let me tell you this. When you find someone that their life is just completely destroyed top and bottom, they usually can't see why. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people that look at you do know why. They might not know everything about your story, but there's probably a lot of people that go, you could probably do this and this. And it's important to understand that, are we spending our time doing what we need to do? And sometimes that does, like, here's the thing is, if you just purely enjoyed, like, you just received, like, serotonin from working more hours, planning every need of everyone around you. You just felt pure ecstasy and relief, and maybe like your body just felt more rested if you just spent like 9 more hours in a day, you know, helping others. Like, we would all do it. But you know why love and charity is probably, you know, the greatest of these is charity? You know why? It is hard. It is taxing. It is basically taking the part of your life that you don't, like, you can't, like, hey, you have to go to work. Hey, you've got to do your chores. Hey, you've got to do hygiene. Hey, you've got to do all this. You know what you're actually giving when you're charitable to others? The little bit of life that is actually yours to give. That is why it's so precious. When you give to God, reading the Bible, serving, going to church, you're actually giving that little bit of your life that you actually do have control of. Hey, your boss may call you in. You may be on call. You know, these things can't be held against you. You got to take care of your family. Hey, you got sick children. You're sick yourself. You got to take care of yourself or them. You can't really make a choice of that. You know, it's when the times that you're free, everything's going good, and that's when you give to other people. That is the highest form of charity. And that is what the wisdom of being an adult is. In Proverbs 31, we'll make this a Mother's Day sermon yet, all right? Proverbs 31 in verse 25. Because we all know, we've done Proverbs 31 multiple times, so I'm not going to go through it. But what is the crown? What is the verse of this week? What is the height that we can strive to? If you are a young lady, if you're a youth that's a female, what can we strive through? Maybe not in this year, maybe not next year, maybe not in a decade. What do we strive for as a lady? And then the church serving God. In Proverbs 31 and verse 25, it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in times to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor and deceitfulness and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her." This is literally the crown of a well-spent life. Let me tell you this. She was obviously a mother of children, it says, hey, do not delight in idleness. If you have many kids, I don't know how idleness just naturally finds you, but people find a way. But here's the thing is, if we strive, we work, we take care of. And here, we can go through all of Proverbs 31, and probably today probably should have been that within the sermon. But it's like, hey, well, she just, you know, oh, life. I mean, I just supposed to cook, clean, and take care of kids for the rest of my life? I'm like, do you need more? A lot of people cry they need more, but let me tell you this. What did she do? Man, she was up early feeding her servants. So she had servants. Most of you are like, I just wish I had servants. Man, the Proverbs 31 woman had servants, and she didn't get up to make sure that they were all fed to work for her. So she's still working. And it says, like, her candlelight didn't go out. All right? She stayed up late working. Well, what was the value of that? Well, her kids call her blessed. Her husband's able to go stand at the gate, which is a prize. Let me tell you this. If your husband has to always come home and take on things, now here's the thing. Sometimes we fall sick. Sometimes we're having a bad day. Sometimes we do need a little extra help. But let me tell you this. If your husband can focus on succeeding in society, of wherever they're doing, that will probably relate to a better life for the lady, the wife. And he was able to be great in the gate, which a lot of times we interpret that like that's basically where they gave judgment. They're that well respected in the community. So he's probably able to make more connections and all this. Why? Because his wife just took care of everything at home. He didn't have that much to do. He didn't have to guide it. He didn't have to fix it all the time. And hey, was that all she did? No. She was working with her hands with skilled labor, and then she was selling that. She had like a little small business. She had her Etsy store up or whatnot in the old times. And, you know, she was out, like, she was out viewing the fields going, now, yeah, that one's too much shade. Yeah, this is a good field. She was judging the fields and buying from her own labors. She was running her own small business or businesses because she was skilled with her hands. She was obviously growing stuff. She was doing that. And then she had her kids. And here's the thing. It's like, man, well, how could I manage a business? Man, you make a lot of kids. Hey, child labor out here is great for making money. I don't know, like. But here's the thing is, you grow up laboring, that's good for the children. But here's the thing is, you can tell that she was working a lot, but hey, she gained a lot. Her husband gave her the fruit of her labor. So he was obviously out there making well and taking care of the household, but she brought in a little bit more. She's out there feeding her hobbies, taking care of the household, buying and trading land. I mean, she's probably not doing well. I don't know how real estate agents did back then, but you do pretty well now if that's your side gig. So it's like, this woman had a full life. And then her children and her husband in her late age is literally calling her blessed and honored. What more do you want out of life? I mean, wouldn't we all wish to have that? And it literally says she will have joy in the times to come. A lot of people are so stressed out, like, oh, it's going to be miserable in the future. Man, she's just hopeful for this life. What a blessing that would be for her and everyone around her. Now, here's the thing is, in your adult life, you're just lost. In this time of your life, you're just lost and you don't know what to do. What do you do? Well, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, it does say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Is if you at least do that, well, you've done pretty good by God's standards, but he would encourage you to use wisdom to do more in this life. But as in the time of your adult, which I think pretty much most people in here are, hey, do and learn and try not to be idle. In all labor there is profit. That is the time of our life. But what comes after? What comes after being an adult? Well, you become an elder. And I don't think I'm there yet. I know you judge me, but I don't think I'm quite there yet. But you still try to do, but you really come on as guiding and teaching. Because, hey, if you let me tell you another thing for all those that may be younger than me. If you think it's hard now, if you think you're tired now, you think you have pains now, oh boy. You become wiser because you become tougher, and you become more patient because you've endured more. This is just the way life goes. You still get a lot done, but hey, if your greatest achievement was physical activity, like sprinting, a sport, and all that, you start getting into the multiple decades, you're probably still better than most, but you're never going to attain that again. You can still do a lot of these. You still can explore, but hey, you start slowing down. So it's important that you start realizing you respect. And why am I going through this? We have different times in our lives. If by the time you become an elder, and the only thing that makes you happy is something you could only do in your youth, or the only something you could only do in maybe a younger part of your adult life, you set yourself up for failure. Set yourself up for success. Transition gracefully into new stages of your life. And don't digress. Look, in Titus 2 and verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things that which become sound doctrine. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound of the faith, in charity, and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior becoming holiest, not false accusers, not given to much mind, teachers of good things." Hey, why should the elders be this way? Does anyone want to learn from a hypocrite? This is important for adults, mothers, fathers with their children. If you tell your children to clean the house or clean their room, you're the messiest person in the house. Is that really going to click in their head that they should be clean? No one likes to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you, an elder who should be leading not just the children, but the adults, people younger than them, if you're being a hypocrite, how are you going to teach them to be graceful, sincere, kind, loving the Lord, if pretty much everything you do is not that? And hopefully by this time in your life, because I think a lot of people will never reach the guide stage, the elder stage in the way we're holding it. A lot of people are always going to have trouble just becoming an adult. But hey, you find older people that just don't have this ability. Because here, at this point, you should be the older man should be teaching the young man, how do you succeed? How do you make it through? And you know why they should be guiding you? The reason is because they made it in this life. And the hoary head is a crown of honor. And the reason is because they made it through this time, the time you're living in. Well, they just don't know how to be good in roadblocks. They don't know how to program their computer. Yeah, but guess what? They still made it. You probably follow. Like, they're able to make it, you probably could. And they probably have some skills on how to get through family, raising children, succeeding in a career, how to humble yourself to your boss, that the boss is young, dumb, out of college, but he's related to the owner. That's like a horrible place. Many of us have probably dealt with that. But it's like, hey, do you know what's bothersome about, a very young person that's never done the skill or job you're doing, being your boss? Well, I have a degree. I have been certified. Whoop-a-dee-doo. Have you ever done it? And this is a key thing. This is why elders should be treated with honor. Like, and here's the thing, is your work, maybe you don't get along with them well, but if they've done your skill, your trade, your business for, 20, 30, 40 years, wow, they're a little outdated. Yeah, but I bet they got something, because guess what? They've been doing it for that long.
That's right.
There's a reason we should transition into that. And here's the thing is, they may not be as fast as they were. They may not be as quick as they were. But let me tell you, there's living experience that matters. And that's with children. That's with marriages. That's with church. That's with serving God. That's within your business. That's within your skill. That may be even in a hobby. But let me tell you this. You should transition to be able to teach the young women. And you should be able to teach the young men. Because let me tell you, no matter what age you are, hopefully there's someone that you can look up to guide. That is why it's important to recognize that the church, we have examples of elders in the church. All right. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we understand this, that basically a king that's broke up Israel, he had two choices. Take the advice of his friends, his age, people he knew, or the elders that had served the kingdom but they'd served them for years. Experienced elder men, statesmen that had served his father for years, holding the kingdom up for prosperity for an entire lifetime. What did the foolishness and the vanity of youth go with? His friends are like, I can do more. I can do it more. It says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, that it said, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that he was grown up with, which stood before him." And we know that that broke a kingdom apart. We know he chose the wrong counsel and it destroyed an entire kingdom, and Israel never recovered.
actually, Israel and Judah separated, and Israel disappeared forever. There's a thing called the State of Israel that has no connection. But it broke apart a kingdom. Why? Because he didn't take the good counsel of men
that knew what they were talking about. Don't become foolish and understand that old people do have wisdom. Now, here's in James 3 and verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceful and gentle and easy being entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy." Let me tell you that. If you can get to a hoary head age where you're bald, you're old, you're slowing down, you're doing that, but you can yet teach that, I bet you've got some wisdom. Because we all know there's nothing like an old fool. They're stubborn, they're bitter, they did that. I bet they never really became a full adult, and they're just bitter and hateful, and they see nothing coming forward. They might not have any wisdom, because they didn't really make it in this life. And they can't humble themselves. In Proverbs 16, verse 31, it says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory. It be found in the way of righteousness." Ecclesiastes 4, "Better is the poor and wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished." Now, this is good for adults. This is good for everything. It is better to be a youth that is poor, doesn't have things, has hardships, but they are going to grow in wisdom. That is more valuable than to be a king who cannot be corrected anymore. The Bible is literally telling you that. Like, you want a young child that will adore. Why? Because if you can be admonished, you can be corrected, you can grow and learn in wisdom. If you think you're just almighty, you're all-knowing, I've been there, I've done that, and nothing can direct you, well, pride becomes before the fall.
Yeah.
And you will crash hard. And let me tell you this. As a youth, if you make mistakes, that's okay. You've got time to fix it. If you're up in the hoary head ages, your crashes may not be recovered. It becomes more and more important. And this is why, you know, there's an idea that people become more conservative, they become more reserved, they become more of that. Because guess what? You don't got 20, 30 years anymore to fix it. You might only got 5, 10 more years to be able to do anything with any strength. So take admission, take changes, be humbled. And from that, you can have the wisdom to teach people. Let me tell you this. Nobody likes someone that's past their time and they can't let go. I used to be someone. No one was anything. Hey, it's awesome. Hey, you did great in high school. You did, like, good sports and all that. Awesome. That time's over. You got to move on. Choose to gracefully transition. Why are we talking about this? The time of your life is something to look forward to. Hey, you know what? You didn't accomplish everything you did, all that, but I bet you did something, and I bet you have wisdom that you can pass on to the next generation. Because let me tell you this. When you get to this age, as a kid, you're hoping to build your future. As an adult, you're hoping to build your own household and build yourself. As you get older, you're hopefully building on the next generation. You're building stuff that you won't get to enjoy. There's an old wisdom, I don't know where it's from, but it says, "How glorious is it that a man that would plant a tree that he will never sit under the shade of?" As you get into the next stage of your life, hopefully you're planning not just the charity of those you see around you, but the charity of those that will come. And hey, serving God, you can always be having spiritual children.
Yeah.
You can be training up those that will come. Maybe you'll find new people that have never sold wind, and they're just really worried. You're like, "Listen here, I've seen it all. The doors that have been slammed in my face, many. The people that have yelled at me, numerous. It doesn't matter." And you can train people through experience. It is a glorious time of life that we should look forward to. But here's the thing is, why we have to understand their stage of the life, babies are going to transition to youth. It's bad to act like a baby anymore. It's okay to be childish when you're a child. But when you're an adult, you need to put away childish things. And you need to not be childish. You certainly shouldn't be babyish. And how much worse when someone who's past really being an adult, and yet they're still childish. They still can't be patient. They still can't plan. They still don't have wisdom. They still don't. Because here's the thing is, there comes a point in your life, it gets really hard to change. And you need, I hope as you age, you gracefully age. I hope you don't have a child anymore. I hope you aren't them. I hope you have wisdom that's even worth passing on to the next generation. Because what a sad thing is, if you lived your entire life for yourself and you don't have any, well, I can tell you how to have really long vacations. I never had kids, never went into church, I haven't had friends in 10 years, and I have nothing to pass on. I don't have God. I don't have anything. Well, you, hey, die with your money. I hope you're blessed with money, because you certainly don't have anything else. Hmm. And how many of the stereotypical cat ladies are there? How many, you know, men, you know, they're like, oh, I'm just going to have fun and all this. They're going to die alone. And frankly, I actually have actual remorse and pity for them. Because I've seen many of them, and I just know people are aging on their own. Here's the thing is, we'll get to a point where probably most of our, and I'll get this next, the elders, real quick. But it's sad when people are like in their, you know, upper 50s, their 60s, their 70s. Some people are still working, still going, but they know they're alone and it's not going to change for decades. I hope you take time in your life now to build something, build friends, build connections, work on yourself, be wise, and be worth even hearing the wisdom of you so you have something in your golden years. But here's the thing. I will actually take you from where we started before in Ecclesiastes 12 now. It will be pretty quick. But there is one more stage of life after you're kind of an elder. And I just put aged here because there is comes a point where you are full Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 12 here again. Remember now thy creator in the days of the youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Do you understand there will become a stage of your life? You will no longer have pleasure in life, and it's not coming back. Why? While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Understand, your eyes are fade, not just where you wear glasses, but it becomes so hard to see that everything becomes dark. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, when the grinders shall cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows will be darkened. Look, no matter how strong you are, how wise you were, your brain is going to fade, your strength will fall, and eventually you will be fearful of anything that happens. And the door shall be shut in the street, and the sound of the grinding is low, and the shall rise up the voice of the birds, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is on high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. The desire shall fall, because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Understand, there will become a time, if you live long enough, if life is not taken to you speedily, life will no longer be joyous. You will no longer be able to experience joy. Your teeth will literally grind away. You will be fearful of birds rising in the morning. You just don't know what's going on. You don't have a thing. And like I said, I talked about this, you know, spending time with my kid's great aunt. She's 80, you know, 3 years old, and she says she does not hope this goes on for any longer. And she's not depressed. She's actually great. She's just ready to go. But getting out of bed some days is too much. I do not think she eats more than a meal a day anymore. She can't work with her hands. My neighbor Joan, who I've had in the prayer request for lupus, all she hopes is that she has enough strength to garden, because that's the one thing she enjoys still. Because food has lost its savor. You know, she's seen the world. She doesn't want to travel anymore. She doesn't want to go. She loves her kids, but, you know, they only visit so much. There comes a point, once you pass the age of elder, that you're just kind of aged. And here's the thing is, you know what the goal of this part of your life is now? You're back to being a child, a baby. Survive. There's nothing more expected of you. Many of you probably think, like, man, I just need to do this. I got to do this. I don't know. If you live long enough, there'll come a point. You just wish you could clean yourself. Because now you're helpless. You're like a baby. You have to be taken care of. You might have to be fed. And here's the thing is, does it matter if you owned a bank? Does it matter how wealthy you were? Did it matter, you know, what, you know, mountains you climbed? Does it matter what collection you had? Did it matter all that? No. man goeth away to his long home, and the dust will return the earth, and the spirit will return to God. And guess what? Everything done in this world will be of nothing of value of eternity. And unfortunately, at that point, I hope you lived a very good life, and that you invested, you had kids, you did that, you lived for God. Because, hey, you'll know where you have eternity to, but you will still have this stage of life where all you'll be able to do is look back with what you did with this life. And I hope, not just from this sermon, your service to God, many others, that you just understand the stages of life. It's not to be downed. This is how God designed it, and this is how we're going. We will go to that long home, and the dust will return to the earth. But I hope you spent the time of your life, whatever stage you are in and where you move to invest and do that which is right. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much as anything for allowing me to preach this sermon. I hope it was edifying. I hope people pulled out of it. I hope even the mothers got something out of it for Mother's Day. But I just pray and give thanks to this. May we not be remorseful that we're aging. Let us age gracefully. And let us build wisdom and grow in where we should be in life day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you want to go ahead and take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 169. It's page number 169, Come Thou Fount. Page 169, we'll sing it out on the first.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some
singing for better. Brother Ryan, would you please close us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for the preaching here, Lord. And I just pray, God, as we grow older, that we'll humble ourselves and take wisdom and correction. And I pray for the children in this room to be wise, Lord, and to obey their parents and obey you, Lord. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.